So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vilasini Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brihad Bhagavatam. So today is the 22nd session of book 2. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time to all of us. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you on mute?
Okay, yes, thanks for telling. Yes, so today is book 2, session 22 of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Book 2 deals with the story of Gopakumar's journey to Goloka Vrindavan. And we have traveled a long way with Gopakumar. So this is session number 22 today. And we'll start with the prayers. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Meelitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat krupa tamaham vande shri gurum dinatarinam. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate radhanath swamin nitinamini. Nama om Vishnu padaya Krishna preshthaya bhutale shrimate bhaktivedanta swamin nitinamini. Namaste saraswati deve gauravani pracharine nirvisesh shunyavadi paschayata deshtarine. Jaya shri Krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shri vasadi gaurabhakta vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. All glories to Srila Sanatana Goswami, the author of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. My humble obeisances to all the devotees on the call. I seek your blessings so that I may speak a few words on this wonderful subject matter. Vancha kalpatarubhyascha kripa sindhubhya evacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Thank you all so much for joining and giving us your very valuable association. So in our previous session, we saw in detail about the simultaneous variety and oneness in the Lord's various forms. And then we started talking about the Lord's internal energy. So we had a quick introduction into the Shakti of the Lord or his internal potency, Mahalakshmi, who's sometimes called as Mahavibhuti, sometimes she's called as Yoga, and even sometimes she's called as Yoga Maya. So she herself, we saw, was Satchit Ananda. And she was really, absolutely real. She's a real personality without a beginning or end. And the essence of her identity was beyond description. And she represents the total energy of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And she is the one who manifests the opulence in the Lord's pastimes. And she makes the Supreme Lord's transcendental pastimes brilliantly attractive. So it is impossible to describe the potency of the Lord by limited words. So we saw about these characteristics of Mahalakshmi or the internal potency of the Lord. So we discussed two aspects. One is she herself is concentrated Satchit Ananda Vigraha, and she is the one who represents the total energy of the Supreme Absolute Truth. And it is only because of her that the Supreme Lord's pastimes appear brilliantly attractive. She manifests the opulence in the Lord's pastimes. So this is what we saw in the previous class. Now, these characteristics that I mentioned, this is called as the Swarup Lakshana of this Parashakti or the internal energy of the Lord. Okay, that is just one aspect of her. Now, she also has a secondary characteristic, which is called as her Tatastha Lakshana. What is that? That is, she is the mother of the variety of sweet wonders that are relished in the bliss of devotional service. So when we perform devotional service, there is so much variety and there is so much bliss in the devotional service. Where are we getting all that from? That is through her. So she's the agent that manifests so many varieties of charm and sweetness in the Lord's devotional service. She not only manifests variety in the Lord's form and his pastimes, but also she manifests so much variety in devotional service. So though she is one Parashakti or she is one Swarupa Shakti of the Lord, still she is capable of manifesting so many different kinds of variety. Now, how do we understand this? The example is given as the example between Jiva and Bhagavan. So we all know that Bhagavan and Jiva, the Supreme Lord and the Jivas, are both Satchit Ananda. That is, they share the same reality. Both of them are called as Brahman, right? Both of them are spirit. So in many places, we see Brahman is referred as the Supreme. And in some places, you will also see the Jiva is referred as Brahman or pure spirit. Why? Because they both share the same quality. Both of them are Satchidananda, right? Both of them share the same qualities. At the same time, we know that the Jiva is different from the Supreme Lord. The Jiva is minute. The Supreme Lord is big. Okay, just like how the sun and the sunshine are different. So there is a simultaneous oneness and at the same time there is difference. So similarly, the Supreme Lord's devotional service is also one. It is one. Bhakti is one. But still she can manifest different varieties in which all the devotees, they taste newer and newer sweetness each and every moment. So the same potency, Lakshmi, she manifests different stages of bhakti. She manifests the sadhana bhakti, the practice stage of bhakti. She manifests bhava bhakti, the initial stage of pure love of God. And she herself manifests prema bhakti, which is fully manifest pure love of God. So in addition, she also manifests various rasas, the various rasas of devotional service. We have so many rasas with the Lord. The rasa of neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental affection, so many other mellows. So all these are manifested by bhakti. Or all these are manifested by her energy. So in this way, she constantly increases the sweetness and bliss in worshipping and serving the Supreme Lord. So we have seen that the Supreme Lord is one without a second. He manifests multiple forms through her. Not only that, she actually also becomes the agent of the variegatedness that is experienced in devotional service. So one Lakshana is that she is responsible for the variety seen in the Lord and his pastime. The second Lakshana is whatever devotional service we are experiencing, the variety and sweetness that we see in this devotional service is also manifested through her only. She is responsible for manifesting so much variety, though she is one. She is one, yet she manifests as many. Okay, and this doesn't stop here. So, she is actually responsible distinct varieties of the Lord's personal associates. Also, she is responsible for manifesting the different abodes of the Lord, and she is also responsible for all the pastimes that can be seen of the Lord. So through this agency of her, of Bhagavan's Shakti, through the Supreme Lord's Shakti, she manifests the different varieties seen even in the Lord's forms, Lord's devotees' forms. Like we have the different forms like Sesha, Garuda and others. All the variety in the different forms in the spiritual world are also manifested through her agency. She's able to create so much variety everywhere. In fact, Gopakumar himself was very surprised seeing so much variety in the residence of Vaikuntha. How is all this possible? How is so much variety manifested in so many forms of the associates of the Lord? Even that is possible only through her. In fact, we spoke about a devotional service having different rasas and different stages. We saw about the different neutrality, friendship, parental love, all these are the different rasas in devotional service. We also have different stages in devotional service, which we mentioned. That is the initial sadhana state, then you have bhav bhakti, then you have prema bhakti. Not only that, even shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu hosmaranam, archanam, mandanam, pavisevanam, all these nine processes of devotional service, all this variety is also manifested through her only. So imagine if devotional service was only one way. You have to do only this to perform devotional service. How boring it would be. We have so many aspects of devotional service. You can hear about the Lord, you can chant about the Lord, you can chant the holy names of the Lord, you can do Pada Sevanam, you can do Archanam, you can do deity worship, you can pay obeisances, you can treat the Lord as your friend, and so many more. So like this, devotional service not only has different stages, not only has different rasas, but it also manifests so much variety. And all this, anything, any sort of opulence in Vaikuntha, anything that is seen in devotional service, everything is powered by this Shakti. In other words, Shakti is responsible for manifesting wonderful diversity. If it was not for Shakti, such variegatedness in the numerous forms could not be produced by a single form of the Lord. Actually, the Lord is one. He is Sachidananda Vigraha. But from him, so much is manifest. From one devotional service, so much is manifest. So all the varieties we see in the Bhakta, in Bhakti, in the Lord's abode, in his Leelas, everything, all the varieties is manifest through the influence of this Shakti or the Swarupa Shakti of the Lord or the internal energy of the Lord. So this infinite variety, I'm going to mute.
Hare Krishna, can somebody mute?
Okay. So, this unending variety is only seen through the Shakti of the Lord. Okay? And Krishna, he is non-different. He is non-different from his Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela. But still he is one. He is one, but still he manifests in variety. He manifests as his Nama, he manifests as his Guna, he manifests as his Rupa, Leela, everything. So many things, but still it is one Krishna. All this is also possible only through the Shakti of the Lord. So we see how Shakti manifests so much variety. Now, the question may arise. So is this Shakti completely different from him? The answer is that actually there is no difference between the Shakti or the energy and the Shaktiman, who is the Supreme Lord. Now, Shakti and Shaktiman are one, yet they manifest differently. So the next part of the question is Shakti completely different from Shaktiman? No. He is not completely different, but yet he is. Both of them are one. So only Bhagavan's pure devotees, they can understand how the Shakti works, how her strength is, how her activities are. But those whose minds are contaminated by the dry logic, jnana, it's very, very hard for them to understand how Shakti actually functions. So Narada, he was explaining all these intricacies to Gopakumar. He was talking about the aspect of Shakti so that Gopakumar could understand the variety that he was seeing. So all the variety that was seen in the material and spiritual realms, Gopakumar could understand why all this is happening. So that is the reason Narada was explaining all this to him. So he was telling him it's very difficult to understand all this by logic. Dry logic will not help. But if a devotee of the Lord listens to it again and again and again, then they can understand a fraction, a very small fraction of how exactly these potencies work. So this was about the energy, but we'll see in more detail. So the Lord's energy has two divisions. We spoke about the Parashakti or the energy of the Lord, and we saw how this one energy manifests in variety. Now we are going to see in more detail about this energy of the Lord. So this Lord's energy has two divisions. One is the Para or the superior, and the second one is the Apara or the inferior. So the Para is called as the superior potency, and she is the Swabhavika or the innate nature of the Lord that arises because of the Lord's inherent nature. Okay, the Shakti arises from the Lord's inherent nature. And she has characteristics like eternity, and she in fact is non-different from the Lord. So in many places, this internal potency of the Lord is also called as Ishwari, because she is completely divine. And because she has the great power to manifest all kinds of varieties of activities, she is known as Para or Chid Vilasa Rupa, one who manifests variety of transcendental forms of enjoyment. So she has many, many expansions, and Maya is actually her shadow. Para, apara. Para is the internal, whatever is manifested through the internal energy becomes para. The apara is the lower energy, which is actually the shadow of this potency of the para energy, which is called as apara or maya or illusion. So the Lord's energy can be classified into two. One is the internal and the other is the external. One is the para energy, which is as of now here represented by Lakshmi, and the other one which is represented by Maya or the illusory energy. So now we are specifically seeing two divisions. One is the energy, the other is the shadow of this energy. So before we enter into this concept of Maya Shakti or the shadow potency of the Lord, we are going to divert a little bit into the concept of how the internal potency actually transforms into the material world and a fraction of whom is the Jivas. And also we'll try to understand about Achintya Bheda Bheda, which is technically known as Shakti Parinamavad. This is very important for us to discuss here at this point, because for us to understand how everything is Shakti, how everything works as a true Shakti, we have to understand our Siddhanta at this point. So let us understand what is our Shakti Parinamavad, okay, before we get into details about Maya Shakti. So again, I'll repeat. The energy of the Lord is one, but it is seen in different divisions. It is diversified. That is what we are going to magnify and see within what is happening inside this one Shakti. How she is classified into so many varieties. How she is responsible for manifesting the material world. How a portion of her is actually seen in the Jivas. All this we are going to now get into and see in detail. So, this portion of our discussion, which we are going to discuss now, is directly from the Dashamool of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Dashamool itself is a portion of a book by the name Jaiva Dharma that was written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Dashamoola was compiled by Bhaktivinoda Thakur based on the Navapramayas of Madhvacharya and the Prameya Ratnavali of Baladev Vidyabhushan. So based on the Navapramayas or the Prameya Ratnavali, Baladev Vidyabhushan has further written the Bhashya, the Govinda Bhashya. Okay, so these essential truths are very important for us to study. From that book, we are just going to take out, from Dashamool of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we are just going to take out one section and study that. Okay, a very small portion of that we are going to study to understand how Shakti performs or how she functions. Okay, and if you want to know more about this, you can always go. There is a wonderful seminar in Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education. It is all available online. It is by Kamalochan Prabhu. He's done an excellent job on this Dashamool of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you just go through that seminar, you'll get more and more details about how our philosophy works. Okay, so let's get into the subject matter of Shakti Parinama. How Shakti actually transforms into so many varieties. So we all know that the Mayavadis, they don't speak about the Lord's potency. They only talk of Advaitam, Brahman. They just say one tattva, that is Brahman. Now, there is a small story about Sripad Shankaracharya. So when Sripad Shankaracharya was on his way to Badri, he stopped in a place called as Srinagar Garhwal. And this is in Uttarakhand. This is not in Kashmir, not that Srinagar. This is Uttarakhand. There he stopped at one point because he was very, very sick when he was passing through that place. In fact, that is the place where this pastime of Narada getting a monkey face actually took place. There's a very funny story of Narada getting the face of Hari. So that pastime is attributed to have happened in this particular place. So when Sripad Shankaracharya was there, and he was traveling through that place, he became sick at one point, so much so that he couldn't even lift his hand. He was terribly sick. And Shankara, he had collapsed and he was asking for water. He was feeling very thirsty, but he didn't have any energy for anything. So when he was full like that and he was asking for water, a small girl came there, a very small girl. She came and she gave him a glass of water. And then Shankaracharya, he told that girl, I don't have any energy. I'm not even able to lift this glass of water. How am I to drink this water? drink the water. He said, no, I cannot drink. I don't even have the energy to drink the water. So you please pour it into my mouth because I don't even have the energy to lift it. At that time, that girl said, you are saying even to lift a glass of water, you need energy. But how do you conclude the Lord creates the world without employing his energy? She said that and she ran away from there. And she, in fact, was, of course, Durga Devi, who came and gave him darshan there. And it was at that time that he wrote the Saundarya Lahari verses, which are extremely famous. Shankaracharya's, one of the classic works is known as Saundarya Lahari. This is on it's a glorification of the energy of the Lord. So that is when it is said that he actually recognized that how the potencies of the Lord is so important. Okay, but however, keeping that aside, we Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we talk more about Shakti than the Supreme Lord himself. Shakti Vichara, that becomes very, very important to us to explain our Siddhanta. When we say the Lord creates through his potencies, it doesn't mean that the Lord is dependent on his energy to create. So when we say, okay, he's doing some job through his potencies, that means he's dependent on it. Not like that. He's Swaraj. He's independent. Yet, he takes care of these functions through the medium of his energy because the energy is the intrinsic property of the Lord. So there is a verse in Shveteshwaratara Upanishad that says, Natasya karyam karanam cha vidyate natat samas shabhyadikas cha darshayate parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate swabhavaki jnana balakriya cha. This particular, the third part of the third line in this verse, parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate, quoted by Prabhupada million times. Everywhere you will see Prabhupada says that. Parasya shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. It is very, very important because that is a fundamental thing that we should all understand, how the shakti of the Lord works. So let's go through the translation of this verse and then we'll proceed further. Krishna has no work to perform with material senses because he has no material body or senses. His body is completely a spiritual form and thus it is not limited in qualities like a material body. Krishna is endowed with unlimited wonderful qualities and performs eternal pastimes in the spiritual Vrindavan. But though he is so, he is still the supreme entity. No other form is equal to or superior to this form because his form is the abode of inconceivable energies. It is called inconceivable because by limited human intelligence, the contradictions cannot be resolved. This inconceivable energy is called superior energy or parashakti. Through one, this intrinsic energy takes, though one, this intrinsic energy takes three forms. Jnana or Samvit, Chit, Bala or Sat, Sandini, and Kriya or Ananda, Haladini. Shveteshwaratara Upanishad 6.8. So here it says that the Lord functions through his energies. Though he is not dependent on it, still he employs his energy. Okay, and this one energy, one parashakti is divided into three. Satchit Ananda, that is a generic name. It is also called as Jnana, Bala and Kriya, Kriya Shaktis. It is also called as Samvit, Sandini, Haladini Shaktis. Okay. Now keep this in mind and we will proceed further. Now, the Shakti and Shaktiman, they are the same. They are the same, yet they are different. So in our Siddhanta, we say that there is one Supreme Brahman who transforms into the world. Do we say that? No, we don't say that. We don't say that there is only one Brahman. He himself is a transformation. He himself thinks himself to become many. We do not say that in our Siddhanta. We say that the Shakti of the Lord only transforms. So therefore, we say our Siddhanta is Shakti Parinamavada. Shakti transforms. That is how we explain how the Lord creates this material world. And we can further explain the concept of the Jivas. So emanation, expansion and transformation put together is called as Parinam. What is Parinama? Parinama means emanation, expansion, and transformation. All three together is called as Parinama. How does that happen? from Krishna, his personal energy comes out. So that is emanation. The Swarup Shakti or Parashakti is the personal energy of Krishna. It is emanating from him. Therefore, that is the first step, emanation. The second step is called as expansion. Expansion means what? This Parashakti actually has a shadow, as an expansion. She is called as Chaya Shakti or Maya Shakti. And this Maya Shakti transforms into the material world. So therefore, the creation of the universe that is explained from the Supreme Lord Brahman is explained in our Siddhanta as Shakti Parinamavada. The Shakti is the one that is transforming. Brahman himself does not transform. We have emanation, expansion and transformation. Transformation happens to the Shakti of Krishna and not to Krishna himself. The shadow of the Chit Shakti, which is Maya Shakti, actually becomes transformed. So one Shakti of the Lord has many varieties. We all know about the three energies that the Lord totally has. He has internal, external and marginal. So we saw how the external energy is manifest, how we can explain the external energy of the Lord. We have seen internal energy is Swarupa Shakti, self, okay? It comes from him. Then we saw how the external or the material universe is created. Now we have to see how the Tatastha Shakti or the marginal potency or the Jiva Shakti is actually coming out. That is what we are going to see next. Now, we all know that we are same in quality with Krishna but different in quantity with Krishna. We are all Brahman. We are all spiritual substance. We all know that, okay? This is, this is very, very commonly. Anybody who comes to read Prabhupada's books will get this information really fast. They'll understand. We are same in quality but different in quantity, right? That is the first thing you will learn about our philosophy. Now, a tiny fragment of the internal potency is actually Jiva Shakti. See, when we say in Bhagavad Gita, Mama eva amsha jiva loka jiva bhuta sanatana. When we say that, we should understand that we are part and parcel of Krishna's internal potency. Okay, we are not actually the direct parts and parcels of Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna's internal potency. There is a small sukshma there. There is a small interesting point there. The reason is because we are supposed to give pleasure to Krishna. Therefore, we are a part of his internal potency. We are also Parashakti. Right, when we talk about para and apara, when you see in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse that talks about parashakti and aparashakti. Bhinna prakriti ashtada, there is one verse that talks about the eight material potencies. And then we say parashakti means we immediately tend to think of the jiva. That is also correct because we are a part of the internal potency. We are a part of that big parashakti is there, right? We are a small part of that. So therefore, we are also classified as parashakti. Okay, so now, this internal potency, what is her job? She is giving pleasure to the Lord. Okay? We are a part of her. So we also join her in giving pleasure to the Lord. That is our duty. So our duty is to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord through the agency of Radharani. Right? Through the guidance of Radharani, we are actually serving Krishna. That is how our philosophy blends in. So we are a part of Radharani. We are giving pleasure through the agency of Radharani. Our job is also to give pleasure to the Supreme Lord. So all of us are expansions of that internal potency, that big energy. We are all an expansion of that internal potency of the Lord. A tiny fragment of the internal potency is the Jiva, and the perverted reflection of that internal potency is the Maya Shakti, or the external energy, or the material manifestation. Everything is coming from one energy. Everything is coming from there. Okay? So you see how the parinama happens. One Shakti, so much parinama. Therefore, we are Shakti Parinama. Okay? Because Jiva is spiritual, it is same in quality. But still, he is not same in quantity of the complete whole. We are different in quantity. This Prabhupada has given a million examples. He says, sun and sunshine, that is one example. Then a spark of fire from the fire, we are like sparks, Krishna is like the fire. He gives the example of gold mine and a piece of gold. The gold that I am wearing on my ear is a small piece from a gold mine. But this cannot become equal to that in quantity. Similarly, we have the ocean and you have a drop of water. Drop of water is also going to be salty like the ocean, but it is very minute in quantity. It cannot perform like the big ocean of water. Okay? So one in quality, different in quantity. Now, this internal potency or the antaranga shakti we saw already from a verse that we quoted earlier. It has sandini, samvet, and hladini. Sandini manifests the paraphernalia of the Lord. Samvet manifests the bhava or emotions of the Lord. And hladini manifests the pleasure. This hladini takes a rupa, that is Radharani. We know this. We already know this, that hladini shakti is Srimati Radharani. Okay? But when we talk about the parashakti or internal shakti, she is also represented by Radharani only. Okay? But when you classify it into three, that particular division takes the form of Radharani. So there could be a confusion. Oh, you're saying internal energy is Radharani. At the same time, you're saying Hladini, a portion of the internal energy is Radharani. Radharani governs the internal Shakti. At the same time, she takes a form that gives pleasure, which is called as the Hladini Shakti. Okay. Now, that is internal potency. We saw internal potency or the Parashakti has three categories. Now, we have to see the Maya Shakti, the Bahiranga Shakti, the external Shakti. The same Sandini that is seen in the internal potency manifests as Sattva Guna in the material world. The same Hladini Shakti in her perverted form is seen as Rajoguna in the material world. The same Samvit Shakti that is seen in the Lord is seen as a perverted manifestation in the form of Tamoguna in the material world. So in terms of action, this sattva, rajas and tamas is seen in the material world as the sattva is seen as the 14 planetary systems. The rajas is seen as the scope for material enjoyment in this world. And the tamas or the samvit, when it is perverted, it is seen as the material knowledge that is acquired through the elements of this universe. So, internal energy, when it is a perverted reflection, we see it, how it functions in this universe. It functions in this universe as Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. The same Samvit, Sandini and Haladini, when they get perverted in the material world, they function in terms of Sattva, Rajas, Tamas. What are they manifesting through Sattva, Rajas, Tamas? Through Sattva, they are manifesting 14 planetary systems. Through Rajas, they are manifesting the scope for material enjoyment. And through Tamas, we are manifesting the material dull knowledge. Okay, that is tamas. Now, we saw internal, external. The three divisions in internal, samvit, hladini, sandini. Then the three divisions in material world, sattva, rajas, tamas. How they are transformed. Now we have to see how these three are present in the jivas. Okay, so tatastha shakti, in the tatastha shakti, the samvit manifests in partial form of knowledge of the self. We all have knowledge of the self. Every pure spirit has knowledge of the self. Hladini manifests as a partial form of Brahmananda or the happiness felt in the self. And Sandini, it manifests in a partial form as the soul's feeling of existence. Every soul has a feeling of existence and that is manifest through this partial form of the Sandini Shakti. This is how the individual soul is such Chit Ananda. It has all the three qualities. It has all the three qualities of the Supreme Lord. But however, this individual parcel by itself, it has a very minute portion of the Satchit Ananda that the Lord exhibits. The Lord Satchit Ananda is so big, means our Satchit Ananda is very, very minute. We are an individual part and parcel. We are still one with the Lord because we are similar in quality, but our quality is very minute. How minute? Just like how the spark flies off from a fire that is burning. That minute we are. So the happiness we feel also is actually minute compared to the Lord's happiness that He is feeling. Okay? So the same thing is present. The same internal energy aspects are present in the jiva also in minute form. So it is inconceivable actually to understand how the Shakti of the Lord works. She expands in so many different ways. Krishna in fact never gets affected directly. He gets everything done. Whatever he wants to get done, he gets it done only through his Shakti. He himself doesn't transform anywhere. Everything is done through the agency of Shakti. Therefore, whatever Shakti manifests, it is all inconceivable. There is so much variety, and sometimes there is so much contradictory things also, right? So when Krishna, we say he's the Supreme Lord, he's the most peaceful, he's always in bliss. Yet when he comes as Narasimha Dev, he becomes very angry. How can you reconcile this? It is very hard to reconcile how all these contradictory qualities can be seen in that one person. So we all say Krishna is Atmaram. He is very, very satisfied. How can he imagine a God that is not self-satisfied? He's got everything. What is there for him to look out for? But still he gets hungry and he cries for milk when he comes as a baby. So Krishna is crying for milk and he gets angry with Yashoda. How is all that possible? It is possible because it is inconceivable. The Shakti of the Lord manifests in inconceivable ways. So similarly, Krishna is, you know, unlimited. We all know Krishna pervades everywhere. He's seen in every atom. He is all pervasive. He is sarvavyapi, like that we describe the Supreme Lord. But yet, he can come in a limited form. You can worship him as a deity. You can capture him inside a deity and worship him. How is it possible? Yes, it is possible. Because the Lord is inconceivable. So everything in the world is manifested from his Shakti, and how exactly it happens, it is inconceivable. So therefore our Siddhanta is Shakti Parinama Vada or Achintya Beda Abeda Tattva. Achintya comes from the inconceivable working of this Shakti that manifests the spiritual world, that is also responsible for the Jivas to manifest. So like this, everything is a transformation of the Shakti. Now, this is purely from our Siddhanta, Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta, how we explained the manifestation of the material world and other aspects. Okay, but still, I know we are in Vaikuntha, but purely we are talking about these things in terms of our Gaudiya Siddhanta. Okay, that is established by Baladeva Vidyabhushan in his Brahma Sutra commentaries in Govinda Bhashya. That is established through Nava Prameya or Prameya Ratnavali of Baladeva Vidyabhushan and further explained in Dashamul by Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And if you want to know more, you can go there. And if I've made any mistakes, please feel free to correct once you have learned more about it or once you already have, as soon as you have some information about it or if you already have. Okay, so now let's proceed further. We have to go and understand Maya Shakti in detail. Okay, this is now we're jumping back to Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Okay? Initially, we spoke about internal energy from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We jumped to Dashamul. Now we're coming back to Brihad Bhagavatamrita to understand Maya. Now, this illusory Maya Shakti, she consists of the three modes of material nature and she is the shadow of the Swarup Shakti of the Lord. So I think this concept should be clear by now. So we have already seen the activities of the superior potency or the Parashakti or the internal potency, how she was capable of manifesting so many wonderful varieties, varieties in devotional service, varieties in the Lord's form, varieties in the Lord's abode. Like that, she was creating so many ecstatic moods. She was creating so much rasa. She was creating so much rupas. All this was created by her. Similarly, the shadow of that energy can also create variety. How? What sort of variety is the shadow creating? The shadow is creating variety in the material world. The diverse varieties in the material world, the diverse forms of fruitive work, the diverse forms of cultivation of knowledge, so many other divisions, diverse forms of happiness seen in this material world. All this is a shadow of that Vaikuntha. Okay, of what is seen in the spiritual world. So these potencies are inconceivable by mundane logic, and the Supreme Lord has variegated potencies, just like how within fire there is a potency to burn. Similarly, within the Shaktiman, there is a potency called as the Shakti. It is the innate nature of Bhagavan to have Shakti. Just like how fire has an innate nature to burn, and nobody can remove that capability from the fire. You know, you cannot say one mantra and remove the capability of fire. You cannot do that. You cannot show a jewel and, you know, do some magic and try to remove the capability. No. Similarly, Parabrahman has a particular capability and these capabilities cannot be removed from him. They are always together. okay, the capability of the Lord is always with the Lord. So this Bhagavan, he possesses inconceivable potencies to accomplish all his actions. His potencies cannot be separated from him at any point in time. This Bhagavan is the Lord of everyone. He is the controller of everyone and he is the ruler of everyone. This Parabrahman alone is the cause behind the material creation, behind its maintenance, behind its destruction. And everything you see in this material universe is completely governed by him. He accomplishes all this through the agency of his Maya Shakti, which is a shadow or a pratichaya of his spiritual pleasure potency. This Maya Shakti consists of three modes of material nature, and she is responsible for producing the varieties in creation because she is the shadow of the spiritual potency that is coming from the Lord's nature. Okay, so whatever we see in Vaikuntha, it is said that the material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. This is the reason why, because she is the Chaya Shakti, that is why whatever is there in Vaikuntha is seen in a perverted, reflected form. That reflection of the banyan tree that we read in our Bhagavad Gita, that's why she is a reflection. It's not the same. It is the same. Yes, it is the same, but it is a perverted reflection. So everything that is there in Vaikuntha is also here. But still, it is a reflection in a very perverted way. So this Maya, she is the mother of this illusory material world. She is an embodiment of falsity and ignorance, and her nature is far beyond description. Though she has imprisoned all the living beings in this repeated cycle of birth and death from time immemorial, Maya or illusion can be destroyed when the living beings receive knowledge of their constitutional position. So when they receive knowledge of their constitutional position, Maya can be destroyed. The illusion can be destroyed. Therefore, Maya is considered as non-eternal or temporary. Okay? So basically, when we call her illusion, it doesn't mean that the material world is not a reality. No, we are not saying that. It only means that the material world is a temporary place. She is known as beginningless because she is the shadow of the internal spiritual potency. So therefore, she has no beginning. Anything that is coming from the Lord cannot have any beginning. That is the nature of the Lord. That is the nature of the Shakti. It has no beginning. But still, a jiva can go beyond her influence. Therefore, she is temporary. Okay? So Maya, she also takes a personal form and she is residing in the eighth covering of the universe. We have already seen this. Gopakumar himself has already witnessed the final covering of the universe. So, remember when Gopakumar went through these coverings towards the end, he saw this particular layer. And she was called as Prakriti or the primordial nature. The reason she is called as Prakriti means something that is innate in nature, right? The reason she is called as Prakriti is because she is also the Lord's energy. So that is the name. Prakriti can sometimes be indicated for the internal energy. Sometimes it can be called for the external energy. For all practical purposes, we are using it for the external energy. But she is an energy of the Lord. Okay. Though matter is always in flux, it is changing from one form to the other, Maya is the superintendent of this transformation of matter. However, she herself is not subject to change. If matter is changing, doesn't mean that this presiding deity, Maya Shakti, is changing. No. She herself never is subject to change, but she is the cause of the change. She is the cause of the change. She is the cause of the change, but the cause itself is unchangeable. She herself is unchangeable because the illusory potency, it expands from the spiritual potency of the Lord. She is a separated expansion. Therefore, she is non-different from the Lord's spiritual potency, yet she is responsible for changes in the material world. Therefore, when Gopakumar reached the abode of Maya or Pradhan in the coverings of the Brahmanda, she said a beautiful statement. What did she tell Gopakumar? Just a quick revision of what she said. She said, Bhaktim ichyasi cha vavishnor tatapi etasya chetikam bhaginam shakti rupam mam kripaya bhaja bhakti dam. If you desire devotion for Bhagavan Sri Vishnu, then you worship me, considering me to be his maid servant, his sister, or his Shakti. Because I am his potency, I increase bhakti unto Vishnu. Because I am his sister, I satisfy the desires of his devotees by bestowing bhakti. She says this statement because ultimately she is also coming from the Lord. She will allow the devotee to surpass her. When one crosses over this maya, one is known to attain liberation. One can attain devotional service. She will give, yes, she will give. She will give devotional service if we are ready to surpass the effect of maya. And this maya, we are saying maya, illusion, we are using all these words. So what sort of illusion is this? Is this an illusion that is created like a magician? Like a magician creates a magic that lasts for a few seconds. It's an illusion. Is this illusion like that? Is this maya like that kind of a magician? A magician, a mundane magician, he can manifest various types of objects in front of the audience. But all of these objects are unreal. They are all just illusions. In the same way, is maya creating her illusory energy? No. No, it's not like that. Whatever she creates appears to be substantial and real. This universe is a substantial reality. It lasts for a very, very long time. These people like this Kardama who created these airplanes and Shaubari who created so many things from his mystic yoga, they are after all jivas, but they were able to do substantial creations. They were able to create airplanes that Kardama was able to create airplanes that lasted for such a long time. If he is able to create a substantial creation, then what to talk about Maya Shakti? She is the potency of the Lord. So she has created something very substantial. Her magical masterpiece is substantial. It lasts for very long. It is a real piece. But still it is deluding. Therefore, it is illusory. So in that sense, it is illusory. Lord Krishna alone, he alone gives, this fruits of all auspicious work. So therefore, great yogis who have developed these mystic powers, they are worshipping Krishna's lotus feet. When such ordinary living entities are empowered by Krishna to produce real objects from their performance of austerities and yoga and other pious activities, Maya Shakti, she is so much greater. She is so much greater. Energy of the Lord. So she is completely capable of doing these things, creating this world. This world is a reality, yet it is temporary. So, like this, the Lord's energies work in multiple ways, in multiple ways. It is very, very hard to understand the inconceivable workings of the Lord's energies. So Narada was telling all this to Gopakumar, and now Narada, finally, he comes to the main point. And at this time, Narada declares something very, very interesting, very interesting. He changes the topic. He says, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is avatari. He is the source of all avataras, and all his incarnations are non-different from him, as they all share the quality of being eternal, nitya, and true satya. As the source is eternal and real, so are all his incarnations. So Narada says, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is avatari. He's in Vaikuntha. He's telling Gopakumar now, Bhagavan Sri Krishna is avatari. Srimad Bhagavatam 1328, the Paribhasha Sutra of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Ete chamsa kalapum shaha krishnattu bhagavan swayam indradi vakulam loke mrudayanti yuge yuge. All the lists of the incarnations of Godhead submitted herein are either plenary expansions or parts of the plenary expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. 1328, krishnattu bhagavan swayam. This is the verdict of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So now Narada intends to establish through evidence Krishna's glories that they are greater than all the other incarnations. But however, all these incarnations are also eternal. They are also very real like him. All the forms like Badrinath, Vaikunthanath, all of them are not different from Golokanath. But this Golokanath, Sri Krishna, is the original source. Although the source of all incarnations is non-different from the incarnation, this avatari, Sri Krishna, Golokanath, is supremely excellent. Krishna is not only the source, but he is also the aggregate of all the incarnations. Meaning, that all the incarnations are present in a subtle form within the transcendental body of Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is considered the seed of all incarnations. The excellencies in Krishna are unlimited, and these excellencies are known by the term Bhaga. Bhaga, the root word of the term Bhagavan. So Krishna is Bhagavan, Swayam Bhagavan. Now Narada introduces this topic to Gopakumar. Vishnu Purana, we know Aishwaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yasya Sahasriyaha Jnana Vairyagyayos Chaiva Shannam Bhaga Iti Gana. Six categories: complete supremacy, complete wealth, complete strength, complete fame, complete beauty, complete knowledge, and complete renunciation. This makes a person Bhagavan. Now Narada began glorifying Krishna as avatari. All this while he was glorifying Narayana as Lord Vaikunthanath as avatari. He was saying Narayana's avatari, which is correct. Narayana was capable of so many expansions. Now sudden twist, Narada began saying Krishna as avatari. So at this point we will leave Gopakumar and see what Narada further had to explain in our next session about Krishna being avatari. What else did he say? And he doesn't even jump into the topic so much in detail right away. He just says a few words about Krishna being avatari, and he proceeds to talk about many other things. In our next session, we have to see further what makes Krishna special, that he can be greater than Lord Narayan, and what about the devotees of Lord Narayan? So Gopakumar is seeing so many devotees in Vaikuntha. So the devotees of Narayana, are they happy? Of course they are, but Narada will explain this. Yes, they are also very happy. Is there any sort of hierarchy in the Lord's devotees? Vaikuntha was filled with so many different kinds of devotees. Is there a hierarchy between each one of them? Are they really happy being who they are? Is there any difference between the Nitya Siddhas and the Bhadratmas, or the the ones who had attained perfection, Sadhana Siddhas? Is there any difference between them? What about the Archavigraha forms? In earth, we are all worshipping deities. What about Archavigraha forms? Is this real? Is this form real? Is deity worship something very important? How to perform deity worship? So many more questions Gopakumar has in mind. He will answer all that. Then only we'll go to the next level of Narada's revelation. So stay tuned until then. Next session will be more details into all this. And today, just to summarize, we have seen a lot about Shakti, how Shakti works. Shakti is known as Mahavibhuti, Yogamaya. She is like the totality of the glorious eternality, knowledge and bliss. She is eternal. She is absolutely real without a beginning and end. It is very, very hard to describe her fully. Okay, this was the one of the lakshanas of Shakti. This was the Swarupa Lakshana of her. The Tatastha Lakshana of the Shakti is that she is the agency through whom different varieties and sweetness of devotional service is manifest. So as a result of this, we see that there were many forms of abodes of the Lord. There were many forms in the devotees of the Lord. There are so many forms of devotional service. And all this is seen only through Shakti. And we consider the Lord's energies as being two. That's a broad classification, inferior and superior. And this inferior energy is like the shadow of the superior energy. This inferior Maya, she generates the illusory condition of the material world by showing falseness and illusion. But still this material world is real, but however it is temporary. She presides over the eighth covering of the universe, and by transcending her, one achieves liberation and devotional service. Whatever she is producing is real, yet it is very deluding. So this is what we have seen today. And in between, we diverted to Dashamul to understand more on Shakti Parinamavad. So if you have any questions, I'll try to answer. If something was not clear to my limited capacity, please go ahead. If you have questions, comments, or any realizations or anything you have learned to substantiate these points. Thank you for your attention. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, please give us the name of the worship room. Please accept my wishes. I have a question. I'm I'm not even sure what my question is. Let me think about it for a second. But just a clarification. So one thing you said, we are a transformation, since we are part of his internal potency, that we are actually a part of Radharani. We're an expansion of Radharani, actually, and not actually Krishna. I mean, Krishna indirectly, but an expansion.
Yes, we are part of Krishna, that is correct. But the correct, the detailed understanding is that we are a portion of the energy, that is, whatever quality. See, everything is actually energy, if you look at it. Yes, Mataji, this is a very philosophical point, but you know, for all practical purposes, we can understand we are parts and parcels of Krishna. But how are we parts and parcels of Krishna? It is through the energy.
Well, that actually makes more sense.
Yeah.
That actually makes more sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I guess the thing. So kind of we can become marginalized because of
your breathing. Yeah, go ahead.
I was saying, kind of makes sense that we can become marginalized because we are one step away from Krishna, a part of his internal potency. Because right. It always, I don't know if that makes sense to you, but that's one aspect I was thinking makes sense to me. Also, the other thing you were saying about... Let me think what the other question was. About when you were talking about his external potency, were you talking about when she's a... she's a perverted reflection of his internal potency, Maya is. But she is not changed. Mm-hmm. So in other words, the Durga, she is not affected. Is that what did you say exactly? Can you say that one more time? What it was you say? She's not.
Yeah, I'll directly read from Sanatan Goswami's commentary, how he's putting it. I'll just directly read from there.
Okay.
So that we don't make any mistakes. One second. Okay. Hold on. Matter is always in flux, changing from one state to another. Maya is the superintendent of this transformation of matter. However, she herself is never subject to change. She is the cause of the change, but the cause itself is unchangeable. This illusory potency expands from the spiritual potency of the Lord. So therefore, she is a separated expansion, and hence she is non-different from the spiritual potency.
Okay, and so my question, so then she is also eternal.
Yes, she's eternal, yes.
Okay, and so when you
but
go
everything is temporary.
Say that again?
What she's creating the material world, right?
Right,
that is
right.
Temporary. That is in our, I mean, it's of course in constant, it's in cycles, of course. But still, it is temporary in the sense we can surpass it and we can go to the spiritual world. Or we can take up devotion. We can surpass the influence of Maya.
Okay.
Right?
Right. Yeah. So my question, I think, is she's eternal. And and what she manifests is temporary.
Correct.
Now, but when you say she's eternal... Because when you start from the beginning of creation, when there's Krishna, and then he expands into Radharani, I mean, into Balaram and all that kind of, you know, and then remember that whole big description of Sambhu and Maya and Ramadev, all that we discussed in the beginning. So is there a beginning to that then? I mean, I don't know if that makes sense to the questions.
No. There's no beginning to that. It is only for our understanding how Shakti or how Krishna expands into so many things and his energy expands into all this. for this, there is no question of beginning. It's, everything is eternal. So that is the problem, right? That is the problem we are having. Our brains are so used to beginning and end. So yeah, to think that something is beginningless, time immemorial is such a big word. How can you imagine time immemorial? You cannot understand.
Right.
That is the inconceivable. It's very inconceivable, yes.
Okay. So, yet the universe is manifesting. Those have beginning and end. In other words, from you know, the Karanodikasai, but that whole aspect, that is continuously starting and beginning and starting and beginning, right?
Yeah. It's in constant flux. It keeps, in the sense it's happening again and again, over and
right,
over.
Right, right. But the main, but the beginning, okay. I think I understand.
Yes, I think now I understand your question as well, what you're trying to come at. Yeah.
Right.
I think you got
okay.
the answer.
Yes, thank you.
How it begins and ends, that's where all these things we learn from Brahma Samhita. These expansions and, you know, how Shambhu, Maya, all that.
Right, okay. Okay, thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
I guess it was very intense, and I've got to listen to the class again because I was like, what? Little pieces here and here. Yeah, I'm going to re-listen to it again, so I might have more questions later. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Yes, Mataji, this was worth listening. I mean, in the sense, at least for me, it was hard to prepare. I hope I have done some justice. But of course, if you really want more information, Dashamool is the best place to go to. And it's only in 6 or 7 parts, the Vrindavan Institute of Higher Education seminar, very excellently done, very, very precise and very well done. So.
Can you share that, where that is?
Yes, of course.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini, Mataji. I don't know. Today's class, I feel like crying, right? Come on. I didn't get a single part of it. It's so confusing, so confusing. And as Saneshwari Mataji said, yeah, you have to listen to this class again. So definitely I'm going to listen it again, Mataji.
Yeah, and
for your hard work.
And that verse that you sent from Bhagavatam, that is such a beautiful verse for today's discussion. This is Bhagavatam 6:19-13. I request everybody to just read this one Bhagavatam verse. It has so much in the purport Prabhupada is giving. He's literally giving our entire Siddhanta right there. So with all the Shakti Parinamas discussed there in a few words, you don't even have to listen to this class, just read the purport.
Which verse, Mataji? Can you?
Yeah, I'm just going to send the...
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
6:19-13. Yeah. So, yes, Preeti Vilasini, definitely, you know, I'll hear the class again in order to clarify all my doubts regarding that verse too. And so, the last point that you made, that why she is known as illusionary energy. So can we also say that since she makes all the jiva into illusion, she is known as illusionary energy?
Yes, she is known as illusion because not that the world is illusion, but the way we are perceiving the world is an illusion. We are thinking we are the body. That is the illusion. How is it possible? Because we are affected by the material world, because we are affected by the things in the material world. So this, I'll read one interesting thing for you, okay, just to clarify this point. This is so good. This is really, really good. And I should really thank you, Goswami, for bringing this part. I will just read this for the benefit of everyone. Okay. This is first, I'll read from Dashamukh, then I'll go to Jiva Goswami's statement. Okay, just listen to this carefully. It's good for everyone to understand about the material world. Okay, please listen carefully. Parinama is a transformation of an object. The example is the formation of yogurt from milk. An example of vivarta is mistaking a rope for a snake. Vivartavad is the mayavad. Okay? So, an example of vivarta is mistaking a rope for a snake. Taking these definitions, the followers of Shankaracharya say that the jiva and the material world can never be a transformation of the Lord. If one accepts such transformation of Lord, it must be considered a perverted state of the Lord. As yogurt is a perverted state of milk, one must say that the world is a perverted state of the Lord. Therefore, they say parinama is not acceptable. If out of ignorance a person accepts a rope as a snake, from that mistake many difficulties arise. They claim the perception of the material world is similar to this. The world does not exist. Out of ignorance, that which is perceived as world is actually an illusion, vivartha. By accepting this proposition, the Lord is not subject to change or transformation. By such reasoning, the theory of vivartha is established. Mahaprabhu's teaching is as follows. There is no substance to the theory of vivartavad. Thinking the material body to be the self is comparable to the mistaking of a rope for a snake. That is vivartha. However, the material body is not false. Our thinking is wrong. It is not that the material body is false. It's just our thinking. They are identifying. And to claim that the Lord is through illusion or vivartha becomes the material body and the material world, that Lord falls under the illusion is a thinking. Under the illusion of thinking that he is the jiva is a detestable belief. Parinama is accepted in the Vedanta Sutras of Srila Vyasadeva. By rejecting Parinama, one admits that all knowledgeable Vyasadeva is mistaken. Just as milk transforms into yogurt, the Lord's inconceivable energy by his wish is transformed into the jiva and the material world. I repeat, just as milk transforms into yogurt, the Lord's inconceivable energy by his wish is transformed into the jiva and the material world. Shakti Parinama. There is no transformation of the Lord or Brahman. What is transformed through the influence of the Lord is Lord's variegated inconceivable energies can never make the Lord the object of transformation. Though a material example cannot fully represent spiritual matters, by accepting an example can clarify this topic. It is said that a touchstone, though producing piles of jewels, remain unchanged. On a spiritual level, one can think of the Lord's creations in the same way. Though creating unlimited jivas and unlimited universe by his inconceivable energy just by his will, the Supreme Lord remains without change. There is one Supreme Being. He is naturally endowed with inconceivable energies. Through these energies, he exists eternally in four states: his own form, his spiritual expansion, the jiva, and the pradhan. These four states may be compared to the sun's power, the sun's globe, the sun's rays, and the sun's effulgence. Bhagavad Sandarbha 16. So, Mataji, the point here is that this illusion is because of our wrong thinking. And that illusion, yes, it is impaired by the influence of Maya. But whatever Maya has created itself cannot be taken as illusion that we think of like a magician's illusion. It is true, it is real, it is substantial, yet it is temporary. And if we are getting illusion, that is because of our wrong identification. That is why we are feeling the illusion. Did that help, Mataji? The first part of what I read, did that help?
Yes, 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 Mataji, definitely. So you were reading from Krama Sandarbha?
No. This, the first part that I was reading was from Dashamool, and the last part was Bhagavad Sandarbha.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for all your hard work, dear. It's such a complex subject matter, but you did it wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kitra Sundarima. Thank you for your attention.
Hare Krishna Prithivirajanirupi, Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam to your Seva. How nicely you narrating the class and so many things. Maybe 3-4 books you are given as the Krishna Conscious Mataji and the expansions of Srimati Radharani. And you give an example of a milk is transferred from the curd. And Mataji, we cannot explain in a word your Seva, Mataji. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. As usual, can you please teach us one Vaishnav song? If you read, then also good.
I'm not a teacher, but I will definitely sing for you, Mataji. Yes, definitely. Anyone has any questions or comments or additions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very wonderful class. So nice explanation of such an important topic. Thank you so much for your time and research and presentation. My question is about Haladini, Samvit, and Sandini. Is there a connection between Shri, Bhu, and Neela Devis and these three?
Yes, actually, that is something we saw in our previous class, I remember. Let me just, that was a good question. Go there. Hold on. I sent a picture of that. So, Shri Bhu Durga, Durgeti, this is the verse. That is, Shri Bhu Durgeti Ya Bhinna Jeeva Maya Mahatmanaha Atma Maya Tad Ichchasya Gunamaya Jadatmika. She has different names, Shri Bhu Durga, in, which indicate the Supreme Soul's energy for manifestation of the Jeevas, his personal energy of desire, and the energy of the material modes that constitute of the inert matter. Here you go. That is the connection. This was covered in the previous session, Mataji. Yes.
Sorry, okay. Mataji, can you repeat it again? I didn't get exactly the connection between this and Shri Bhu and Neela.
Yeah. So, Mataji, here there is one thing. The Neela aspect is a little different than the Gaudiya. When we say Neela, we you know, if you read the purpose of Prabhupada and if you read the Sandarbhas, you'll know that Neela is identified with Leela, Leela potency. Leela means Durga potency. Okay? So, the connection is given like that. And now, when you see this statement of the Shastra, it says she has different names as Shri, Bhu, and Durga. This statement is for Shri, Bhu, and Leela, okay, Durga. She has different names, Shri, Bhu, and Durga, which respectively indicate the Supreme Soul's energy for manifesting his Jiva. Shri has the potency to manifest Jivas. Bhu, his manifest his personal energy of desire personal energy of desire. That is Bhu Devi. Next, Durga Devi, she is the energy that rules over the material modes that constitute inert matter.
Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much. Very, very wonderful class.
Thank you, Lalit.
Hare
Krishna Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Priti Mataji, such a wonderful class and so nice questions and answers too. I had like basically the same question which Lalitangi Mataji, was asking, and you read it out. Like, I remember from last week too, we had a discussion. So I just would like to add to that, Mataji, and I also have another question too. So from what you read and what we discussed last week, so the Shri Bhu and Neela are connected through the, the three Shaktis, which are the Jiva, the Yoga Maya or the Atma Maya, and the Maya Shakti, right? That's how it is related in this, that's how Sanatan Goswami is explaining in Brihad Bhagavata Amrita, from the statement you just read. Yeah, so they're not. Like directly related to Haladini, Samvit Sandini potencies, because that is another classification of the Shakti of the Lord, right? So they're not like indirect. I mean, at least from the statement you just made, the connection we see. So I was just wondering, Mataji, there is another set of three. You know, we saw in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, which is like the Ichha, Kriya, and Jnana Shakti. Can you hear me? Jnana, there is three, like another part. There's another three. Not the Jnana Bala Kriya, but the Ichha, Jnana, and Kriya. Three of them are there. So
So I was wondering how they are related, Mataji. Because, you know, like from what you have explained, some places you said that Maya is the Maya Devi is the cause of all these material things. But we've also read that, you know, Krishna actually has the, he is the only person who has the Ichha Shakti, right? Nobody else has the Ichha Shakti. So he, unless he desires, Maya cannot do anything. So how do we tie all this, Mataji, together? Hi, Bol. Am I audible, Mataji?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point, actually. I'm not really... I was more thinking on the aspect of this... what is the Jnana Bala Kriya to be... What is the classification you give? Ichha?
Ichha Jnana Kriya. There are the other three potencies. Like in... If I recall right, Mataji, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, in the Sanatan Goswami Samvad, he keeps explaining like so many trees, you know, like this tree. Then he says also, you know, like the Maya and then the Yoga Maya and then the Jiva Shakti, like that so many trees he gives. And then he gives Haladini, Samvad, Sandhini, like that. So in that, there is Ichha, Kriya and Jnana. And that is different, like in basically the Jnana Bala Kriya is nothing but the Samvit, you know, Haladini and the, what is the other one? Sandhini potencies. So I was just wondering how the other three ties into the whole picture, Mataji.
Okay. I'm sure it is there in Dashamul, but I have to, I didn't take out all the verses from Dashamul because... He goes on quoting so many verses from different scriptures for these three shaktis that are mentioned, like how you are saying, right? So, Ichha Jnana, I'm sure, is there in one of the quotes, mm-hmm. but I remove it and then send it, Mataji. I'll try to get it out and send it. As of now, I don't have an answer, but I will get it out and send it to you, Mataji. It's there, sure.
Oh, so, it is also explained, Mataji, in Dashamula?
Yes, we are relating it to something. That is, you know, he quotes from Katha Upanishad, from Chandogya Upanishad, and Shveteshwaratara Upanishad, and all that.
Okay, Mataji, I'll wait for your answer then, Mataji. And also, another thing was, what was it? Yeah, one more thing. I just wanted to add, Mataji. I mean, I thought it may give some clarity. Though, like you rightly said, that the Jiva Shakti is a part and parcel of the, you know, internal Shakti or the Chit Shakti. But it is a very, I think, convenient or maybe a little less confusing to understand the Jiva as a Vibhinna Amsha of the Lord. Even though we are his internal potency, but we are Vibhinna, we are not like his other expansions or other, you know, avatars or whatever we call them. So so in that sense, it gives a little clarity when we try to classify them as three rather than two. That's what I was just thinking, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji, that is a very important point. Yes, still we are Vibhinna, still we are different. That is very true. Yes, Mataji. Thank you for adding that. That definitely gives clarity. Yes.
Yeah, and also I was reading some conversations with, you know, Srila Prabhupada on this topic, you know, and not related to this topic, but something else, you know, like how the, you know, like the Jiva, like remember in the last class when Mataji was asking how the Jiva can fall from the Brahman platform or something like that, you know. So I was just trying to look up something, and I also found that Krishna can summon the Maya Devi to Vaikuntha also, you know, when like when a Jiva wants to act independently, like I think, if I'm not wrong, like Kitsida Mataji was explaining, so he can like readily summon her, you know, to actually take the Jiva out into the material world because he wants to enjoy independently of Krishna. So,
wow.
Yeah, so it's in one of his conversations, it was there, Srila Prabhupada's conversation. So, yeah, so he said why, somebody was asking, like, why Maya Devi cannot be you know, there. So he said, no, she can. Like, and he also gives the example of how, like, if there is a thief in a millionaire's house, then, you know, the police can always go in and, you know, catch her, catch the thief, you know, and put them in the prison like that. So even though, like, Krishna is the supreme a millionaire or the supreme proprietor, and if somebody wants to enjoy, you know, away from him, thinking that, you know, when they're in Maya, basically, when they have misused their little independence, then Maya Devi immediately goes and brings them out into the prison of material world. Something to that effect, Mataji, I had read also.
So nice. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for that.
Yeah. And also, like, a few things, it just came to my mind because we read about these things in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, if I remember right, Mataji, because it was some time back, right? This is going on for so long, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And also, like, I think there was some allusion, you know, made to, like you said, the transformation, right, Mataji, like, of the Shaktis. So, the Parinam Vada, basically. So, there was some, I don't know if I can recall it right, like it also mentioned like the Vibhinna Shakti or something, Vibhava Shakti, sorry, you know, like it was also discussed in another term was basically used for the transformation, you know, into that the three kinds. So, like, I mean, it's like the terminology is so much that it is a real little overwhelming, actually, you know, because in a different purpose of Srila Prabhupada, we see different terms are being used for, you know, for to explain the same concept. And also, like you rightly said, the four Vaishnava Sampradayas also explain it in their own sweet way. So, yeah, it is kind of bewildering, you know. It is so, but you explained so nicely and so sweetly, Mataji. Thank you so much for that, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you for all the inputs, Mataji. They are very, very valuable. And thank you for adding on, and thank you for your kind association, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
One more thing, Mataji. Sorry to, you know, like, take all the time. Just if you don't mind, can you send that reference from Dashamun Tattva? You know, in yesterday's class, Ramgiri Prabhu was saying the two aspects, and you said it is there in Dashamula. Can you please send the exact reference, Mataji?
Yes.
It will help us to, you know, more deeply analyze.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else wants to add anything or any comments, realizations, questions?
Hare Krishna, Mataji, yes. Fascinating subject. I do need a couple of points of clarification. When we say that, I don't know if you actually said this, but I thought I heard that the jivas are part of Krishna's internal potency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because I'm trying to reconcile that with what I've also heard, which is that the potency that constitute the jivas is categorically different from the internal potency. I wish I had the scriptural reference.
Yes. So that's what she was just clarifying now. We are vibhinna amsha. That is, we are separated. We are so separated. That's why we are tatastha. That's why we are on the margin. We are neither internal nor are we external. Though we expand from there, though we expand from our internal potency, still our quality is vibhinna only. So she wanted to, you know, add that so that there is some clarity. That is the reason. So we should not, though we are same in quality only with Krishna, still we are vibhinna amsha, separated part, separated.
Okay, so we are separated. So the fact that we're separated, we're saying that's what makes us into a different category from the internal potency.
But everything is coming from the same. Everything is... So that's how they, when they write the commentary on the Vedanta Sutras, they have to, this is the Siddhanta. This is how they explain how the material world is created, how the jivas emanate from there, all that. It is all a transformation of the energies of the Lord. But yes, you are right. We are still within Amsha. And we are Tatastha. We are on the shore. We are neither here nor there. I mean, rather we have a choice to either go there or come here.
Okay. Another question that I had was, when you were saying something about, there's a word that indicates transformation, expansion, and I forget the third one.
Parinama. Yes. Emanation, expansion, transformation. Put together is called Parinama.
Emanation, expansion, and transformation. And those three, can you repeat the word one more time?
Parinama. Yes.
Okay. And yeah, if you don't mind, just distinguishing those three again for me. Well, emanation, I understand. Something comes from something like the sun rays come from the sun. That's like emanation, right? And then,
expansion.
Then now, if you can, expansion. We say that's when Krishna. When Krishna takes on or manifests his different forms.
No. So this is purely related to energy. So the energy emanates from the Lord. That is first step. Is the Swarupa Shakti, okay, the Parashakti.
I'm sorry, Master. I'm just having trouble hearing.
Okay. So, first, there is emanation. From the Lord, sunshine is emanating, right? Like that, from the Lord, first, energy emanates. Okay, that is the Swarup Shakti, or the self energy, the energy of the Lord, complete energy of the Lord. Then, there is an expansion of that energy. That expansion becomes Durga. Okay? Now
that expansion becomes what? Durga?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she transforms. She transforms material world. I mean, into the material world.
Okay. So the emanation is when just manifestation of his, when his energy becomes manifest outside of his form. Is that what you say is like that?
Yes.
And then when that, and Durga is an expansion of that energy. And this material world
is a transformation of that energy.
This is the transformation of Durga. Okay, I'm going to have to sit with that a little bit because, they all just sound like.
Yeah, they're very.
It seems like all these words they practically seem interchangeable,
Yeah. You're right, because we say external energy at the same time we say transformation of external energy. They're all practically the same in one sense. Yes, but still, if you want a like a magnified view of what is happening. That's how it goes on.
Okay, one last question I had. When we say, you know, when we're referring to Sri Bhu and Durga, we said that Bhu is Krishna's, is his internal potency to manifest Krishna's desires. I think I just needed like an example of that. Like for example, which kind of desires?
Anything that he thinks of, whatever he desires, is all facilitated through her. Anything that the Lord desires is facilitated through her.
Let me see. We said Krishna's desires, the jivas, and Durga. So it is through the potency of Krishna's the potency of Krishna's internal potency that makes whatever he wants to happen.
Yes. That's right.
And that potency we call Bhu. And the potency that makes the jivas manifest we call Sri. But, I mean, Sri is also his internal potency, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, Mataji, it's very inconceivable here.
So, you know, the potencies that make all these three categories manifest, they're all the internal potency, yet we're giving the one thing three different names.
Yes, that's right. So it is one, yet it is many. It's classified into many. It is still one. They're all one, actually. Yeah. It's all the internal energy only.
So the... it's all internal potency, but there. So, what would we say? That is different expansions of the one internal potency that give rise to the jivas, his desires, and Durga. The third one is not Durga.
One with different aspects.
Yeah. One internal potency. That
different of her function.
Mataji, can I just add something? And I'm thinking, I don't know, does this clarify? Could we say it's similar to somebody who, let's say, who's the president? It's just one person, but he has different roles.
Does that fit? Yes, why not?
So just like how Krishna is one person, but he also manifests in different roles, which we call expansion. So the same is being said of Krishna's internal potency. So the Sri Bhu and Durga are just different roles of the one internal potency.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Panisha.
All right. Thank you so much. One last thing. You said that the Dashamula. What did you say was the source of the Dashamula?
The Pramaya Ratnavali of Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote Dashamala based on the Pramaya Ratnavali of Vidyabhushan, Baladeva Vidyabhushan. He wrote a Pramaya Ratnavali based on the Navapramayas of Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So
So we are taking our source from Madhvacharya Sampradaya, right? We are Madhvaga, Brahma Madhva Gauriya, right? So
yeah.
we take from that Navaprameya. Prameya Ratnavali, Baldev Vidya Bhushan has included other things in Prameya Ratnavali, and that has been further expanded by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Dashamola thesis.
So, Baldev Vidya Bhushan, he wrote what something based on what he got from Madhvacharya?
Yes.
And then Bhaktivinoda, he then expanded on what?
That, yeah.
Baladev Vidya Bhushan.
The Prameya Ratnavali, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mataji. So, realization comments?
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Mataji, it's a wonderful class, a very wonderful class. Actually, I'm still churning. It still has to register. There's a lot going on in here. Mataji, but while Mataji was still talking about Dashamula, can you please explain? And I now forgot what I was asking. Gosh. Sorry, Mataji. I forgot my question. So, okay, one more that I had. So sorry about that. Was can Satchit Ananda? Okay, so you said Satchit and Ananda. It refers to Shri Bhu and Anila Devi. That is one way of comparing it.
No.
Sandini, Ladini, and Samit.
And the other one was Jnanabala Kriya. Yes.
Jnanabala Kriya. Okay. One more is, does this have any relation with the Guru aspect also, with Krishna, Balaram, and Srimati Radharani?
Correct.
Can you please explain that part of it also?
Yeah, the Samvit is governed by Krishna himself. Okay, the chit potency or the samvit is governed by Krishna himself. The sat potency or the sandini potency is governed by Balarama. That's why Balarama, sandini is existence, right? That's how he manifests as everything. The entire spiritual world is sustained by Balarama. Okay? He himself, his chit potency, Krishna himself, the chit that is coming from Krishna, it is responsible for cognizance. Okay, and the Haladini is the pleasure potency, takes the form of Srimati Radharani. Now, don't get confused. Many people get confused. They say Samvat is Balaram. No, that's not correct. No, Sandini is Balaram, not Samvat. Because immediately people think cognizance is equal to Guru is equal to Balaram, but that understanding is wrong. That's not how Chaitanya Charitamrita presents it. Okay? I mean, I know you didn't get confused. Just saying that as a random statement.
Okay, Mataji. Lord Balarama, he is responsible for all of the spiritual creations? For everything? Maintenance of everything in the spiritual world?
Yes. All the paraphernalia. Balaram, right? The spiritual world, everything is a Shakti, everything is Balaram.
Okay, and Ladini Shakti then undergoes a transformation, and that's how the entire material expansion is created, material world is created.
We don't...
Maybe, no, okay.
Yeah, Mataji. Yeah.
Next question is, now I remember what I had to say in regard to Dashamula Mataji. Is there a different explanation by any other sampradaya on how this entire cosmos is created?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Everybody has their own.
Okay, so this is just a theory?
No, it's a detailed philosophical thesis, Mataji. Sri Bhashya has said. And our Govinda Bhashya is so humongous. It's a detailed study which at least with my limited intelligence, I won't even attempt. So if something is given in Dashamuli, just to digest that is so hard, actually. And I don't even know how much I have, you know, conveyed so or understood in reality. So it's very intense, Mataji. Yeah, each one of them, the answer to your question is each one of them have their own theses. Like Ramanujacharya has given Vishishtadvaita Siddhanta based on his commentaries called as the Sri Bhashya. Madhvacharya has given his Madhva Bhashya, and like that, each one of them have given their own. And his is Dvaitavada Madhvacharya. Like that, everybody has their own Siddhanta. Yeah. Everybody meaning the Sampradaya leaders. Not everyone, but the four Sampradaya. Yeah.
Okay, so I think you know where I'm getting at, what I'm trying to get at, right? So if God is one, and if everything is one, why are there different explanations, right?
Why are there different
explanations? I mean, it should all underlyingly lead to the same thing. It should all explain it the same way. No, it should explain things also the same way, right?
No, Mataji, it's very hard to explain everything the same way, yeah, because you have to reconcile so many facts. All these explanations are the explanation of the Vedanta Sutras. The Vedanta Sutras are aphorisms. Now, if each one has to give a commentary on these verses of the Vedanta Sutras and reconcile everything and put it down into a Siddhanta, it cannot happen in the same way. So yes, God is one. Everyone agrees. See, all the Vaishnava Acharyas, they all agree on the same thing. Yes, God is great. I am a servant. I am Jiva. I am his servant. That aspect everyone has agreed. The outer aspect, yes, everybody has agreed. All the four Vaishnava Sampradayas are they are all in the same page. Okay, there is no difference. But in these details on how they explain the sutras, there is difference. And the Siddhanta that they put forward, there will be difference. Because that's how they are reconciling. And technically, even in Dashamuli, we'll read that how Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that actually Mahaprabhu's this Achintya Veda Veda, it has, or rather Shakti Parinama, has reconciled everything. All the problems otherwise, you know, which is not being filled out in the other places, he has put in all the aspects of all the four sampradayas and given you a combination. Like he's put everything together and he's given it to you in the best possible format. So he's reconciled everything. Ultimately, okay. He will be talking about all the various Vaishnava Sampradayas also based on their Siddhanta. He will compile everything together and he'll tell you how this is a good compromise of all the different levels of understanding. Okay?
Yes, Mamaji. Thank you so much.
But I think everyone is for it, yes. Krishna is the Supreme Lord. We are his parts and parcels in one sense and we are his servants all that day. Agree. Everyone agrees.
Okay.
At least Krishna is the Lord and I am the servant, everyone is for it.
Thank you so much. Wonderful, wonderful class. Have to go back and listen again. Too many concepts in here. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Indu Mataji.
Mataji, I had a comment on Indu Mataji's question. Can I share, Mataji?
Yes, you can go.
Yeah, I think she was asking about how the Guru Tattva, ties up into all this. If my understanding is right, the Guru Tattva, it actually, it comes from the Baladeva expansion of Sri Krishna, so that is a separate line, you know, altogether, like that.
Yes.
And I think currently we are discussing Krishna's shaktis and the Guru Tattva, actually in one sense it is of course coming from Krishna because Balarama is an expansion of Krishna, but the Guru Tattva basically Balarama takes care of it like that. So I just wanted to add that much.
Yes.
Thank you, Mataji.
So Now, if there are no more questions, first, Vinamba Gopika Mataji, before I sing, do you want to sing anything related to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur today? Vinamba Gopika Mataji, are you still there on the line?
Yes, Mataji, now I'm not working, don't worry, but I cannot sing anything. The fever and cold, Mataji, passing from fever and cold.
Kamadiki is there on the call, right?
Yes, Ajiti, Kamadiki Mataji, please give your association.
Yes, and before, I wanted to make one small announcement. Kamadiki Mataji will be off to India till April, if I'm not wrong. So we'll be missing our association for several months, which is very sad, because she is the mother of our Bhakti Sangha, and we'll be really, really feeling separation from her. So, Kamadiki Mataji, would you like to sing, Mataji, anything for all of us? Okay. I think she's on mute.
She's on Mahalakshmi.
One second, Mataji, I will unmute her. Actually, there was a disturbance, that's why I muted her. One second.
Okay, I can. I'm done.
You done, Mataji? Okay.
Done. Yeah. Mataji. Samudaki Mataji? You are unmuted. Okay, thank you, Mataji, is not there. Okay. Then I'll do this one, Jeev Jago. I got this from Chaya Mataji, so I'm just going to sing Jeev Jago. So I'll sing this song. This is again Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Gita Vali. Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura chand bole, Uta nidra jao maya, Pishachi rakole, Jeev jago, jeev jago, Gaura chand bole, bajibo boliya ese, samsara bitare, buliya rohile tomi, avidyara bhare, tomare loite ami, hoilo avatara, jago, jago, Gora chand bole, tomara loite ami, hoilo avatara, ami bina bando ara, ke ache tomara, jeev jago, jeev jago, Gora chand bole, uta nidra jao maya, pishachi rakole, enechi aushadhi maya, nashi maru lagi, Hari nama maha manta, lao tumi magi, jeev jago, jeev jago, Gora chand bole, bhakti vinoda prabhu, charane padiya, te hari nama mantra, loi lo magiya, jeev jago,
गोरा चंद बोले कुट निद्रा जाओ माया पिशाचे राकोले बाजी बो बोलिया से संसारा बितारे भूलिया रोहिले तुमी अविद्यार भारे जीव जागो गौरा चंद बोले
जय हो शिष्य भक्ति विदान ठाकुर की जय शिल प्रभात तिलक देव की जय प्रीति विलासिनी गोपी की जय दंडवत प्रणाम टू ऑल वैष्णव
दंडवत प्रणाम माता जी सॉरी अगेन आई थिंक आई मिक्स्ड अप सम पैराग्राफ बट एनी थैंक यू फॉर द ऑपर्चुनिटी
ब्यूटीफुल ब्यूटीफुल थैंक यू सो मच
हरे कृष्णा प्रीति विलास ने माताजी वेरी वेरी ब्यूटीफुल क्लास एंड वेरी नाइस सिंगिंग माताजी ब्यूटीफुल कृष्ण एसोसिएशन माताजी थैंक यू सो मच फॉर सच अ ब्यूटीफुल कृष्ण एसोसिएशन
थैंक यू विनीता गंधर्विका माताजी फॉर ऑलवेज बीइंग देयर फॉर एवरीवन ऑन द कॉल ऑलवेज एनकरेजिंग एवरीबॉडी थैंक यू माताजी Then if there are no more questions, comments, realizations. If there are no more questions, comments, or realizations, we can end the call. Vancha kalpataru beshya kripa sindhu bhyevacha patita nam pavanebhya vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jashla prabhupada ki jai shri brihad bhagavata amrata ki jashla sanatan goswami ki jai. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai Hare Krishna. We are very much over time. Please forgive me for that. Hare Krishna.
Titi Vilas Mataji ki jai.